is a Patriots Friday, and Patriots linebacker Jelani Tavai will join us in about 15 minutes at 7:20, and then after that, we will get to They Said It, which is a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports, and we will certainly discuss what Patriots offensive coordinator Alex Van Pelt said about the wide receivers on this football team and what they must do if they are to get it right. So that is coming up, but we have some leads left this morning. Hello, Courtney.
Hello, good morning, everybody. I have a food and sports lead for all right. You all on this gorgeous Friday.
Okay.
The Athletic did a little investigative journalism after finding out that Uncrustables is the NFL's favorite snack. I don't know how you feel about Uncrustables. I think they're delicious, especially when in the freezer. They found out that the league goes through at least 80,000 Uncrustables a year. They went one step further and found out what teams eat the most, and they broke it down by week. So the top of the league for consumption, the Jaguars come in at number 3 with 315 Uncrustables a week. The Seahawks come in at 2 with 320 a week. And the number 1 team, would anyone like to guess?
Patriots?
Kansas nope. City Chiefs?
Nope. The Broncos. The Broncos. 700 Uncrustables a week for the Broncos throughout the NFL season. What's the worst part of this article? They don't even mention the Patriots once.
Really? Well, aren't they still, they're enjoying bologna sandwiches, if I remember correctly, over there.
That's right.
That's what they serve.
And so. Street meat in London.
Yeah.
So you like that? Like, I've seen them. I've never had one.
You get bologna really sandwiches good. And chips and stuff like that.
They're very good.
So it's like peanut butter and jelly.
Well,
and
it's like a perfect snack, like especially when they're cold. The jelly's a little bit,
don't you put them in the freezer?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And then what, do you got to put them in a microwave?
No.
You just take them out?
Yeah. It's like and a then, frozen treat.
Ugh, that sounds, it looks disgusting.
Oh, okay. Well, I just found that interesting. Would that Uncrustables is the snack of choice.
Wiggy is more of a Hot Pockets guy.
I like Hot Pockets. But like it looks like a peanut butter and jelly. Would you want a cold peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
No.
No, I would not.
So how are
Uncrustables? I mean, room temperature is really... although my mom used to make me grilled peanut butter sandwiches. I don't know if you've ever had that or not.
Oh, that sounds delicious,
like it's
though.
It's like a grilled cheese, but with peanut butter.
But it's like, you know, you make it the night before and then put it in the refrigerator. Like, who wants to eat it? And that's what I feel like.
Don't knock it till you try it.
I feel like they're for kids, but kids will eat anything.
Yep.
All right, Courtney, thank you.
Very
Wiggy,
welcome.
Hello, good morning.
All right, hello, good morning. So I have a couple leads. I don't know which direction I should go in. Should I go into the world of basketball or should I go into the world of football?
I guess... Was your lead yesterday a basketball lead?
No, it
was a football lead.
Yes.
Go basketball.
All right, I will go basketball. And I will say this, it's not because I would like tickets to the Celtic game, Sully. This is just me being a green teamer.
Uh-uh.
I have to say, thank God for the Boston Celtics. Because if the Boston Celtics weren't as good as they are and our expectations weren't so high on them, what the hell would we be watching around here?
I don't know.
The Red Sox stink. The Bruins, after going to last night's game, I'm like, whoa, this season don't look like it's going to be a great one.
Yeah.
Forget about Mayo being fired. Who knows if Montgomery's going to make it through the year.
Who gets fired first, Jim Montgomery or Gerard Mayo?
Montgomery. All day long.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it's not his fault that Swayman, they wouldn't pay Swayman, and so Swayman is rusty. That's not on Jim Montgomery.
He's got 3 years under his belt, though, after the season.
Yeah. Who's that?
Montgomery, so.
Yeah.
Like, this is his third season.
Oh, yeah. And I think with Mayo, there's no, like, Kraft is already kind of like, he's went too far down the road of, like, I identified this guy, black head coach, former player, great guy in the community. He's went like too far down the road to fire him after one season. I don't, you know, maybe he does after the second season, but he's definitely not getting fired after the first season. And then, you know, we talk about the Patriots stink, the Red Sox, at least with the Celtics, you know, I'm sitting at the Bruins game and I'm not able to watch it, but I'm kind of looking at it on my phone and the way that they're playing, like they're dominating.
Bummer about those beer prices, though.
Yeah, the beer price. I told you, the internet is the internet is so capped. I believed a lot of stories on the internet. Now I don't know where to go.
But all of us were defending the honor of the Celtics, and you just kept going
against
them.
Well, because, listen, I thought AI was the way to go. When you put it in, the first thing that comes up is that AI Google.
Yeah, and I told you the AI Google thing is wrong.
I thought that was supposed to be, like, spot on AI Google.
This is an outrageous question to ask, and we were joking about it the other day, but this is back-to-back games to start the season – where the Celtics have had a 30-point lead.
Yep.
Not very common at all in the NBA. Is it possible that they could do something that has never been done? Is 82-0 on the table for the Boston Celtics?
No.
But it is
No. I think. But what about?
I think they could win 70 games, though. Is that what's the record for single season games?
73.
So I think
Golden
they break
State.
A record yeah. this season.
What's the home record for the Celtics? 41-1 or?
Yeah, they had a good one last year.
No, with the 80s.
I think it was the 86 Celtics.
Celtics. Yeah.
Where they only like lost like one game at home. Yeah. Is that? Something that potentially they could go after.
Have to go undefeated at home.
But I'm not sure if it was
last year. They only lost four games at home.
I jinxed them on that last year.
I'll find out what the Celtics home record was in the 80s.
So it's impossible. Stymie in the Twitch chat says it is impossible for an NBA team to go undefeated.
Yes.
I mean, that's like saying, do you think the Dodgers will go 160-2?
Well, 73 or 74 is the record.
Yeah.
Right?
You could go for that.
So, you can.
So that would mean, what, 8 more games. Is it possible not to lose those extra 8 games? Mm-hmm.
I think it is, yes.
Yeah, because it's not something that you're going, it's impossible if the record is 74 wins and there's only 82 games
in
a season.
Nothing is impossible.
Right, but if the record was 60 wins. When it's like 22 games away.
Yeah, you have to win.
But if you're only like a handful of games, then there is even though it's small, but there's a chance.
Possibility. Yeah. All right, Wiggy, thank you.
You got it.
Great lead.
Appreciate it.
So we were talking earlier about Jerod Mayo and what some of these guys were doing in London, England, and about coaches and discipline. And consequences. And so I thought it would be interesting to hear from Brad Marchand, who talked yesterday about something that we had discussed on this program earlier this week, and that was Jim Montgomery mid-game after Brad Marchand turned the puck over, coughed it up, if you will, berating him on the bench, going so far as to even give him a little bit of a shove, how dare he, on the bench. And Brad Marchand was asked about that yesterday, and this is what he said.
Yeah, I mean, people are very, very sensitive these days, and you know, there's a lot of, you know, it's unfortunate how coaches are scrutinized over things like that. There's a lack of accountability nowadays because, you know, people can't handle the heat, and you make a mistake like that, you deserve to hear about it. You know, I'm glad that he said something about it. If he didn't, we would have a much bigger issue. So the fact that that's something that we're talking about is, you know, it's disappointing, but that's the way things are today.
Oh, hear.
Oh, my captain.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that refreshing, though?
Yep.
Yeah.
Somebody who, you know, screws up and is okay hearing about it from their boss.
Right.
And hearing about it in a loud voice with a shove at the end.
But he's cut from a different cloth, though. You know,
is that the shove that they're talking about? He barely even touches it.
Yeah.
And he has pads on.
And Brad Marchand, though, you have to remember, he's 36. Like, this could be an old guard way where the Patriots don't have that. Like, you're talking about 22-year-olds who are soft now.
Right. Yeah. Poultra? Is that how you say the kid's last name? Poultra? Would he react the same way? You know, like, so I guess I feel like Brad Marchand is more of the old school way of thinking type of player.
Yeah.
Where we had it a couple years ago. We saw how DeBrus didn't take to that type of coach.
Yeah. DeBrus would have hated that.
Right. I love it.
Yeah.
I love that attitude from Brad Marchand. So that is our leads. Those are our leads this morning. We're going to talk to Jelani Tavai next on a Patriots Friday. Here's Courtney and what is trending right now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now. Start with the 99 restaurant. The Bruins fell to the Stars 5-2 on home ice. I don't know how I just started that. Let's start again.
You want to redo them?
Yeah. We're going to redo it. Trending now, brought to you by the 99 restaurant.
Bang.
The Bruins fell to the Stars 5-2 on home ice last night. A tough night for Jeremy Swayman. He was in goal. He had 27 saves in the loss. It's the Bees' third consecutive loss, and Captain Brad Marchand not happy with what they're putting out on the ice.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little bit of our own doing. We're not taking care of pucks at the right time, and obviously we're taking too many penalties. So there's definitely areas we can clean up. You know, we can be cleaner on the breakouts and come together. You know, we're definitely, it's of our own doing, which is a good thing, I guess, because we can rectify it. We got to get back to playing the right way for 60 minutes and doing the right things all the time and understanding that, you know, success is hard and we need to play a hard game to win. That's how we've always won, and we just need to get back to that. So we'll work on that tomorrow.
Isn't Marchand a good example of how a locker room can get a guy in the right direction, too? Like, yeah. He wasn't always this guy,
No. But
he was fortunate to play with Patrice Bergeron and other great leaders, which got him to where he is, which is sort of exactly what the Patriots are lacking.
I think in hockey, you can have, it's the one sport where you can have a guy in the locker room, leadership-wise, who isn't the most skilled player, but is a Sean Thornton-like player,
right,
who can be a get-everybody-in-line kind of guy, which Sean Thornton was for that team.
I've always been will over skill.
Yeah. Yes.
The Celtics started slow last night, but they ended up dominating the Wizards on the road to get 2-0 on the season. 122-102 was the final in Washington. Jaylen Brown led the way with 27 points, while Jason Tatum had a double-double, 25 points and 11 rebounds for him.
Celtics 40-1 at home in 86, so
okay,
it is possible.
Thursday Night Football had the Rams beating the Vikings 30-20. The Vikings falling into that post-Lions game trap. Good little fact by Scheim yesterday. Matt Stafford completed 25 of 34 passes for 279 yards and 4 touchdowns. He had 1 interception in the win. Tonight, Boston College welcomes Louisville to Alumni Stadium. 7:30 kickoff. You can listen to that game right here on EEI. And the World Series also kicks off tonight. The Yankees take on the Dodgers out in L.A. First pitch, 8:08. Gerrit Cole is taking the mound for the Yankees against Jack Flaherty. And kids eat free at the 99 restaurant every Sunday in October and on Halloween. Visit the 99 for lunch or dinner, and kids can get a free meal from the kids menu with every adult entree purchased. You gotta love the nines. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. 42 degrees and clear. Afternoon high, 61 in Boston.
Jelani Tavai on a Patriots Friday is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by findmassmoney.gov. And Jelani, I know you got a meeting, so you got to get to a meeting, but we'll get you in and out this morning. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. So some, from the outside at least, some criticism this week when it came to Jerod Mayo calling this team soft and then walking that back. But if you guys are being honest when you talk about it, it seems like maybe that has lit a fire under this team.
I mean, it's a new week. You know, we're on to the Jets. What happened, and, you know, this week it's on us to come out and, you know, be prepared and execute our jobs.
Jelani, being on to the Jets, is Aaron Rodgers still one of the hardest guys that you have to prepare for? And if so, what makes him so difficult?
100%. You know, this guy's been around the league for, 20 years now? And, I mean, I think he's been in the league longer than some of our rookies have been alive. So, you know, he's seen a lot of coverages. He's seen a lot of balls. So he knows. He knows when we're disguising. He knows when we're just sitting there in a certain cover. So we got to, you know, give him certain looks. That way we can, you know, have him either wait till the last second to try and figure out, and maybe he'll call a timeout or try and adjust. But it's on us as defense guys to just, you know, disguise this week and show him something different that we haven't put on film.
Jelani, whether it's, you know, I think he said that you guys played soft, and when you looked at the film, because I think there are a lot of guys that agree you probably did play soft as far as giving up the run the way you gave it up. I don't think that you're those type of players where you're turning stuff down. What do you think is leading to some of that poor play, especially defensively against the run game, where it seems like teams might be a little bit being able to handle you guys more physically, especially at the line of scrimmage. What do you think you guys are not doing good enough?
I think we're just not being consistent. That's it. That's the biggest thing for football, like for this game. You got to be consistent. You can't just do your job one time and, you know, not do it the next two. So I would say it's just being consistent.
Speaking of being consistent, Jelani, what is the accountability like in your locker room? It feels like things have gotten somewhat out of control with players going out late before a game. How do you guys sort of keep players in line yourselves, forgetting Jerod Mayo for a moment?
You said people going I don't know about that, people going out the day before the game, but, you know, you just got to be professional. If you're doing that, which you shouldn't be, but you got to take accountability for however you play. But, no, I think as a whole, and especially as a defense, we're taking accountability for, you know, the past weeks. You know, we can't just all throw it on Mayo and you know, use him as a scapegoat, because we're the ones out there playing. So, we're taking full accountability of what's going on.
Have you ever been called soft by a coach prior to that?
Yeah, when I was a kid, and then I turned it around. You gotta, if you hear that as a person, as a man, then you're either gonna sulk about it or you're gonna do something about it.
Jelani, it does seem like every week we have some type of rumor that's out about this team, or players talking about pride, going out for themselves and not for the team. The rumor after London was that, you know, maybe guys were staying out too late or didn't have their head in it completely. Did you feel like there were too many distractions when you guys were in London? Do you think that led to your play on the field?
No, I don't think that was a distraction. I think we kept the main thing the whole journey. You know, that was the message of message from everybody, was just this is a business trip. You know, so yeah. But you know what? It's a new week. It's like we said, we're onto the Jets, and right now we've been having a great week of preparation, and we just got to make sure that everything we do on the practice field, we transition it to the game. Yeah, we just got to make sure that we're consistent.
I know Drake May is on the other side of the football for you, but when it comes to his age, and it, from the outside at least, the way he has appeared to kind of accept a leadership role, has that, a couple games into starting, has that surprised you?
You said, does that surprise me that he's playing this way?
Well, not necessarily playing, but the way he seems to us to be kind of assuming a leadership role on this team, and he's only two games.
No, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah,
it doesn't surprise me that he's stepping into a leadership role. I feel like that just comes with being a quarterback. You know, you're our general on the field, and but I think that's also just his personality. He's a great human being, and a really good competitor. So that's something that we look for in a leader.
Jelani, do you feel like, and when I played, we had guys like Willie McGinnis and Lawyer Malloy that kind of policed that locker room, not only with the way that players respected them, but there was a little bit of fear because, hey, guess what? If you talk slick to Willie, you might get hit. Do you feel like there are guys in that locker room, and I throw yourself into this as well, that carry that same type of demeanor where maybe there's a little bit of fear that players feel towards you guys, and could your voice be a little bit louder to maybe rally some of the troops to fall in line and be a little bit more mature when it comes to on and off the field situations?
Yeah, we definitely have some guys like that. As extreme.
All right, well, listen, we know you got to get to work and get to a meeting, and it is an opportunity to turn things around, and we appreciate you taking the time this morning.
Of course. You guys have a wonderful day.
All right, there's Jelani Tavai.
Oof.
What do you mean, oof?
We need to call him earlier.
It's just not. It's kind of is what it is. Like
it's a wake up call.
We don't call him.
He's getting in the car. He's getting out of the car. Yeah, you can tell guys are coming up to him.
It's just probably Bluetooth in it. Hands free.
It is what it is.
And the service not great.
He's got the Edelman phone.
Well, it's also you got a big meeting you're going to go to figure out how to get gashed for 200 yards. I mean, you could give 5 minutes seated in the car. I mean. Last time I checked, you went out till not him. Teammates were out till 3 a.m. You can get there at 7:35.
Well, he doesn't know anything about that.
Like,
who was the first to report that? Like,
Mass Live, I think, had something, and then Kendrick Bourne confirmed it, but didn't talk about specific players.
Well, yeah, Kendrick Bourne, I think yesterday was when he addressed the fellas,
right,
and said that he had made a mistake in the lead up to a Super Bowl by being out too much, essentially. He and his teammates.
Right.
And so
out and eaten, he said. So it's like,
well, not what he said. He said yesterday he brought up the mistake stuff.
Right, but I'm saying before that.
Before that, he had said that guys should not be out all night and eating or whatever.
Right.
Right.
So
I mean, I would
eating
also
a slang that we're unaware of.
And I would also say, Greg, like when Edelman was doing that, he had won 3 Super Bowls. Like, it wasn't great then, but it's Julian Edelman, a guy that's going in the Patriots Hall of Fame, one of the most clutch players in the history of the city, versus a guy on a team that's lost 6 straight games, who's a part of the defense and is the reason why. Yeah. Like, I just
and that's why I brought up the Gronk thing. Like, all right, if you're gonna go out and you're gonna party and you're gonna let loose, then, well, I always say it, don't let your night job affect your day job. Go out there and have 3 touchdowns, 150 yards, or LT, who goes out all, you know, the rumors were going out all night long and partying it up, and then the next day you have 2.5 sacks.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, well, can't really say nothing about that guy if
have
it's working.
You, in your time in the league, and your time, and I use this term loosely, analyzing the National Football League.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever encountered, with regard to the wide receiver room, a group of pure scrubbies, as you would call them, who think that they are number one wide receivers in the NFL,
right,
who have convinced themselves?
Right.
Have you ever encountered a bigger lack of talent and a larger belief that they are overloaded with talent than this wide receiver room?
No, it's shocking to me. You would think, by the way that they talk, this was the Vikings of the late 90s with Chris Carter, Randy Moss, and Jake Reed. You're like, damn, that's some talented room, the way they're complaining about getting the football. That's why I said, like, even Pop Douglas. I think Pop Douglas is a good player.
Good.
But he's a 6th-round pick that is still trying to make a name for himself in the league. And to be so vocal when you hadn't earned your stripes, that's why I always go back to, like, policing the locker room on your own as players, where a guy could come in and be like, shut up, catch the damn football, and go out there and make plays before you start going to social media.
But who on this team is scary enough for other players to respect?
That's why I asked
yesterday,
that.
Yesterday, for instance, Juwan Bentley went and spoke to those guys. And so
he's hurt. He's not playing, though. It's completely different, man. I'm telling you, you don't see, like, when I play, like, I just kind of give you a little insight. When a guy's hurt, you don't see him around.
Right.
He's not in, especially if he's done for the year. He's not in meetings. He's not really out on the field. So he's kind of like a ghost.
You see you speaking today, Greg?
No.
Bob Sosi.
You need somebody that has that track record. They don't even need to be. You brought up Sean Thornton with the Bruins. They don't even need to be somebody who plays a lot. For us, like, even Brian Cox, used to play linebacker.
Yeah.
Oh, that hit on was it Python? Python?
Jerome Python, I think
in that
his name
Colts
was.
Game.
He didn't play a ton that year, but he had enough of a resume and he had enough of, like, a reputation of who he was as a player, that when he spoke, you respected him, and lightweight, feared him in the sense because
right. You're afraid of him.
Like he might, want to throw hands.
Yeah.
Like Jelani said, well, we don't get that extreme. Well, maybe you should.
Right. Maybe you should.
I mean, we can fight it out and be friends afterwards.
Yeah. Let's get to this.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They
want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right. Let's at least start They Said It right now. A quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. Where do you want to begin, Sean?
Well, Greg, I want to begin with the receivers we were just talking about. Wiggy's right. You can fight with anybody and still be friends. And one of my best friends, we had a huge fight one time. It was great.
Who won?
I did not win.
Was it physical or was it just with your words?
No, no, it was a physical fist fight.
Right. There you go.
Did it have something to do with the girl, Little Debbie?
No, it had nothing to do with the girl.
Curtis, it was over a controller.
No, actually, it was over backyard football.
He stole my new controller.
No, it was over backyard football.
Oh, it was?
Yep, and I called him. I was in the phase of my life where my mother didn't want me swearing, so I used extra letters in words like biznitch. Young idiot me. Anyways, this receiver room, all they do is talk, and they think they're Randy Moss and Chris Carter. Well, Alex Van Pelt tells them they need to focus inward a little bit.
I think we all understand we're frustrated. You know, nobody's going to be happy at 1-6. That's just the reality of it. But I think that room in particular needs to keep the focus inward. You know, we have a big game this week. All of our focus should be on how we can, you know, get a W on Sunday. It's a very good opponent coming in. I understand the frustrations. That's part of losing football. Best way to take care of that is to get a win. But I think our focus right now needs to be solely on the Jets because it's a challenge.
Well, I mean, he makes a great point. I don't know that they're going to do it. Like, those guys, we were just talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to point the finger at themselves because they think they're extraordinary.
Right.
So they think the issue is that each one of them thinks that they're not getting the football enough and that would change the outcome of these games if they were throwing the football. So I don't know. Does Alex Van Pelt fix that by saying that publicly?
No, I think you fix it by actually being a little bit more innovative with your offense and doing some things that actually maybe gets the ball into their hands, gets them some opportunities. But we talk about this game. The Jets.
You can get the ball into their hands.
Uh-huh. Right, but the next step is tough.
Yes.
They're not going to catch it.
That is true. Well, maybe give it to
them. Jalen Polk has more drops than, you know, Ken when he used to produce the show.
Maybe give him like an end around or a reverse or something where he doesn't have to catch, where you could just hand it to him a little bit easier. Let's see what he could do with it. But you brought up the Jets, right? Even though there's dysfunction over there, at least I think they're looking at it like there's still a chance for us to make the playoffs, because if we can't put it together, we got enough talent to put it together and go on a run.
Which team is more dysfunctional heading into this game?
I think we are.
Yeah, I would say.
You say the Patriots?
I would say the Patriots. But it's close. But the Jets have enough talent to say, if we put together 3 or 4 wins, we're right back in the conversation. The Patriots.
I don't know. You have guys publicly or guys who are saying out loud that the rest of this season is for Robert Saleh, who Aaron Rodgers got fired. Like, uh-huh. I mean, there's a clear divide on that football
team. There is.
We actually have audio of a national pontificator talking about just how bad it is with Aaron Rodgers, if you want to hear it.
Yes.
Here. It's Chris Canty on with ESPN Radio.
Yeah. Let's listen.
No, I mean, here's the thing. The last couple of years in Green Bay, we suspected that Aaron Rodgers could be a little bit toxic, especially with a young team. I had no idea that it would be this bad. This guy is like a cancer that has metastasized within the New York Jets organization. And I don't know how they fix it.
Oof. And listen, he played with him, so he would know. All I'm saying is, just on paper, if they, let's say, hit a little bit of a run, they're 2-5, they'll put themselves right back in the mix. Where the Patriots, I'm saying those players in there, do you think any of those players look and go, okay, we could turn this thing around and get back into the mix?
Well, maybe that's why I was trying to get something out of Jelani, where maybe what Gerard Mayo says lights a fire under these guys. Like, maybe they are. You don't think so, Curtis, that they're not?
Greg, the fact that that was just the interview, like, Jelani Tavai, it seems like a really nice guy.
He's a really good guy.
I don't know anything about him. He doesn't seem to be in any way a guy that I would believe is trying to bring the organization anywhere but back to where it was. But, like, you asked him about what Gerard Mayo said. He didn't even acknowledge it. He basically said, on to the Jets, which suggests to me that he was pissed that he was lumped in with that.
That's a Bill Belichick guy, though. That's a guy who's always going to put the Patriots in a positive light and not really going to spend time talking about any negativity.
Right. That's how you change that, by saying, yeah, I love Coach Mayo. He's talked to us. He said we weren't soft. We're ready to go. He in no way did anything to make you feel like players weren't there.
Or at least say, hey, you know what? I agree with him. We did play soft.
Right.
Yeah.
I will just say, when it comes to the Jets-Patriots question that Greg asked, I would rather be a Patriots fan than a Jets fan right now, because the Jets have all the talent in the world and still have that dysfunction. At least we're 1-6 and our team sucks on the field.
Like, the power of belief is, you know, is a snowball that can start an avalanche.
The dysfunction is expected for us, for the Jets. Yeah. If you're during a season that you're supposed to be top of the league and you are dealing with it the way that you are, that's way worse than
but I'm not talking
us
about,
in a rebuild.
I'm not talking about the fans. I'm talking about the players in that locker room.
Yeah, I would rather be on a team that's just bad and there's dysfunction than being on a team that's supposed to be good, losing, and there's dysfunction and hatred, it seems,
but
in the locker
good
room.
Team has the ability, because of the talent in that locker room, to maybe rally and go, hey, let's turn this issue around. We got enough talent, and if they play,
I don't think they will.
Play, I'm not saying they will, but I'm just saying the players in there go, we got the Patriots coming up this week. Right. We win this football game, which we should.
It's a division game.
It's a division game.
We gotta win it.
We're right back in the mid. Where the Patriots, you think there's guys in that locker room that believe they can turn it around this year?
Well, I don't know if they believe they can turn. When you say turn it around, I hope there are guys that that believe that they can win this football game and that feel called out by Gerard Mayo.
But do you believe, based on what we hear from them, that they might feel that way?
No, they have already booked their trip to Sandals, Jamaica.
Right, yeah. Where at least the Jets is, and I'm just talking about players, not the fans, at least...
Wiggy Skeezins greetings, am I right?
Yeah, I would say it's more Beach Seasons.
Yes, sir.
Right, but at least if you asked, though, like, if you went to Sauce Gardner, or you went to Quinnen Williams and said, hey, what do you believe you guys can turn it around? They would say, yes, we have the talent to do it.
Greg, you want
to
know what I wish Jelani Tavai had said to Gerard said about Gerard Mayo?
Biznatch.
Yes.
So I'm going to support him. I'm going to lift him up. And I'm going to be there for him. Because I see the way he fights. I see the way that he works. And I know who he is as a person. And that's all I have to say to address him.
Yep. Run the hill. Can we just go run the hill? What happened to running the hill?
They did it. Take him to the hill.
I loved when they were running the hill.
That was mental.
Game balls for everybody. Game balls in every locker. Yeah. All right, we're going
to
take a break. We'll get to the rest of They Said It next. It is a Patriots Friday, and coming up, we'll get to Courtney and the news at 8, and then another Pudge's pal will be in the studio with us at 9 this morning. And we're one for one on finding forever homes for dogs, and so I'm hoping that we go 2 for 2 today with Pudge's pal, who will be here at 9 on today's show. Monday, we are at Gillette, and Boomer Esiason will join us.
And an international pop star may be joining us after the pup. That happened the first time.
Oh, yeah.
You never know.
Oh, yes, that's true.
I'll never get over that.
So, I thought he was the bagel guy.
Monday at Gillette.
And bagels are coming, guys. I didn't forget.
Oh, it's a bagel Friday. Yep. It's a bagel Friday. Monday, Gerard Mayo and Boomer Esiason on this show. Yeah. Rest of They Said It Now, though, Shime, what do you have left?
Yeah, sure thing, Greg. So a member of Patriots.com has kind of called out the media for their more or less softness in regards to criticizing the New England Patriots. Here is what Paul Perillo said about the beat writers in the locker room of the New England Patriots.
They should be pounding him.
Yeah.
If this was New York, it would be way worse.
Yeah.
But there's too many here that just want to be covering the Patriots and put that on their resume.
Well, that's true. But
put it on there. To your point, that's how they're getting clicks.
Yeah.
They're on Twitter telling everybody, I cover the Patriots. See my avatar with me talking to Tom Brady? That's the identity for half of these people.
What?
That is so true.
I thought people have been killing Mayo.
He's talking about the young reporters that are like, okay. They tweet out highlight videos and are like, woohoo, go team.
All right. Didn't know it.
I mean, one guy commented and then he got like banished.
Correct. I mean, but that comment was not that far off.
Of course not. No, he was right.
Evan Lazar deserves an apology.
Yeah, I mean, he was right. There seems like there's a mutiny going on.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not, I don't think it's even a mutiny against Jerod Mayo. It's a mutiny about give me the football.
Right.
Me.
Right.
I have the best hands in the NFL.
Right.
And I can't stand up on a 2-point conversion near the goal line. Mm-hmm. Like
it's all kind of the arrows are pointing to Alex Van Pelt, the offensive coordinator, and it really is coming from the majority of it is coming from one room, and it's the wide receiver room. Because I mean, you've heard Godchild say some stuff before, and some other players, but it seems like the ones that are constantly frustrated with their roles. A wide receiver.
But, Greg, I think it's not that they want to have it in their bio. It's that social media criticism has ruined young reporters. Because when you say something honest that's negative about the team, a lot of people say mean things to you. And it's a pain for some.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what's changed it more than anything else. That's what changed Dale. That's what changed, like, a lot of people in this business don't want to hear from Patriots fans or whatever team they cover, and they don't want to be ripped. That's what it is.
I also think that if something is clipped or, the Patriots live stream all of these press conferences with Jerod Mayo, if you are one of the reporters in the room and you ask a hard question, not a softball, and then they get shut down, that thing goes everywhere. So Curtis is right. It is a social media aspect where it's like, if you're Mike Reese and asking those questions, that's one thing because Mike Reese is established. But if you're, a new beat reporter, you don't want to go in there and be a hardo because some of those hardos have been shut down so hard that it's like,
it's hard to eat.
Yeah.
And I get it.
Well, I mean, how can you be anybody who reports on this football team with regard to, because that's what the discussion point is, with regard to Jerod Mayo specifically, and not think that he is not the right guy for the job? Like, and I'm sorry, like, he just has not shown that he's the right guy for the job. He may grow into it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you and I go back and forth on this all the time.
Yes.
Because you think that this happens with all rookie coaches.
Not all, a lot of them, yes.
Brian Flores, this did not happen to. He was able to...
Yeah, I just don't... His approach, I think, was trying to be the polar opposite of Bill Belichick. And I don't think going in there and standing up and saying guys can say anything they want to when they're speaking publicly or on social media, there's no consequences if you can't hold on to the football. There's no consequences if you say something about your coaches. I mean, it's just not the way an organization is ends up being successful.
No, it is, but it is a lot of it is. This is how a lot of first year head coaches go. I mean, you brought up Brian Flores. His first year was 5-11. I mean,
he was reportedly really hard on the team.
No. But I'm saying his first year he struggled. Right? You look at a lot of, and it happens a lot of times to a lot of coaches. Their first year coaches, their team struggles. Dan Campbell struggled with the Detroit Lions. I think it's more about, and I said this, I believe Mayo was sold a different bill of goods than he thought he was getting. And so I think Mayo came into it thinking, okay, I'm going to have the ability where my opinion and my voice is not just heard, but it's able to move the needle a little bit. That's why he says, oh, we're going to burn some cash. Yeah. That's why he then says, hey, here's what I think about Drake May.
And that's why, Wiggy, you're right. He kept saying the plan, I think, is a way to sort of mock those that were telling him what to do with Drake May.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I brought him up. So as we wrap up, they said it. Let's get to a little Bill Bitterchek. Because I love Petty Bill. And here he is yesterday talking about the dysfunction here in Foxborough.
it's Jets week, but boy, the Patriots got a lot of questions to answer between the head coach and the atmosphere, and you know who's soft and who's not soft, and so forth.
Bicycles in the locker room. I mean, I don't know how you could pretend you're not soft. I mean, everybody gets a bicycle ride. I mean, isn't that what they're there for, right?
Probably to warm up, but I know what you're saying there, Mike.
Well, look, I'm just saying what I saw. It's a kinder, gentler program. I'm not sure that we can you can do that, especially when you have such a young team. And their offensive line has really struggled all year. They struggled to pass protect. That was a problem going into the season. It was a problem last year.
Yeah, no doubt. In both lines, honestly. Right. You know, the Patriots have had their – they can't get the same five guys on the field, and then that's been an issue, whether on when he's playing guard or tackle. Two guys they signed in the offseason aren't even on the team anymore. So that's been a little bit of a musical chairs. And then the same thing with the Jets. It's been, you know, it's been a struggle there too.
What was that video from? Who was riding the bike?
I think it was Juwan Bentley. Okay. Was it Juwan Bentley? I think was riding a bike. It's not a stationary bike.
No, it was
Lombardi, such a boom. Yeah.
Don't get mad at him.
It was like a gray bike. It was like a gray bike.
Yeah, he was riding through it like he was Debo from Friday.
That was a direct shot at Mayo, though, from Bill.
100%. Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, that is They Said It. Quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. We will get to Courtney and to today's news coming up next.